Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Control the airwaves. You can talk about whatever you would like. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to do that. Again, that's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight is Aria.
And Nikki.
And we got into the subject of parenting a little bit earlier, which I don't have kids. I have no plans to have kids. It would actually be kind of weird if I did have kids. But, Nikki, you're planning to have kids.
I am.
And it sounds like you're going to be a really good parent because you're putting a lot of thought into it. And that's my issue with most parents is that they seem to not put any thought into it. They just assume that they know how to do this in a productive way. And, I mean, sure, you can technically bring a child into this world and raise that child to be an adult without any training whatsoever. And you can produce a fairly functioning adult. But there's better ways to do it. And if just barely functioning adult is the goal you're going for, then maybe you don't need to read any books. But if you want more than that, if you want a healthy, nurturing relationship with your child, maybe read some books.
Yeah, at the very least.
Consult some people who are experts on the subject. And you're like, well, no one's an expert on child care and raising children. But, like, some people are, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an actual field that people study, and you know, they scientifically look at results and they say, okay, well, treating children with love and respect actually works.
I mean, so do we really have to tell people not to hit their kids, though? Like, seriously?
Apparently we do.
I mean, that's like the first thing they teach you in kindergarten. Like, the golden rules, teach, you know, people the way you want to be treated. Don't hit your friends.
Yeah, but people make all sorts of excuses for it. Like, Major Payne, he's a libertarian. But here we have a libertarian who is making excuses for hitting kids.
Because a lot of people don't, they can't conceptualize the fact that children are human beings.
Right.
And that they should have equal respect as adults. You know, like, obviously don't let your kid do whatever they want to do. But, I mean, if you can understand that it's wrong to hit an adult, why would it be right to hit a vulnerable child that is essentially defenseless against you?
Like, I mean, don't know, man.
I got to spell that out.
Like, my dog has bit me playing with her before, and, like, she's a golden, so she's got no bite whatsoever. She can bite as hard as she wants, and it's like, that's so sweet, girl. Right. But it would be such an unfair fight for me to fight this animal because she is literally incapable of doing harm to something. Like, I saw her chase after a bug the other day, and it was so clear that she did not want to hurt this thing. She just wanted to be friends with it. And
I felt so bad. That's endearing.
Yeah, it really was. She's chasing around the house, and a cat. Then, of course, this made the cats aware of it, and the cats caught that thing, and they beat it to death because that's what cats do.
Yep.
They are vicious little evil predators.
No mercy.
No. But the dog just wanted to be friends with it. And I can't imagine wishing any sort of harm or causing any sort of harm to this creature. And that's only going to be magnified when we're dealing with a tiny human being, right?
Yeah. And I know so many people are probably getting offended right now comparing, you know, children to dogs.
My dog is certainly not my child. I do hate that as well. I don't call myself this dog's mother, any of that stuff, no.
Yeah.
She's my dog. My cats are the closest thing I have to words in that I consider them mostly friends who live with me. They rely on me to an extent, but they're free to come and go if they want. I just know they don't want to leave, so I don't let them go outside. It's weird. If they exhibit any sort of behavior that made me think they wanted to leave, I would let them leave. But if they just want to wander outside because they're curious and get hit by a car because I live on a highway, well, no, at that point I'm asserting my authority as the thinking human being and saying no. But, like, my dog is not my friend or my ward. My dog is my pet.
Yeah.
And there's a very different relationship I have with the dog. And not a child. I do get bothered when people are like, my cats are my children. No.
Dog mommy.
Yeah, they're your cats. They're your dog. They're your pets. They're not people. And you can't really treat them that way. So we probably are upsetting people by even comparing the two, but there is a lot of similarities between raising a dog in particular. If you're training the dog, some people get dogs and they just never train them and let them run wild. But some people actually train their dogs and they teach them how to be, right?
And I think it's also, I mean, if you wouldn't hit a dog, why would you hit a child? You know?
Yeah. Also really good. I just don't understand. And Major isn't the first libertarian that I've heard of who made this exemption where it's okay to hit your kids. And I just don't understand why someone who commits to the non-aggression principle and who recognizes that it's wrong to hit people and that it's never okay to break that rule just because you're the government or because you want to tax people or whatever, to then go on to hit their child, I just don't understand it. And hopefully I never will. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in on that or something else. But let's go to the phones because we are a call-in show. And we do have TJ who is using our SIP line. You can find the information for that, I believe, at sip.freetalklive.com. TJ, you're on Free Talk Live.
Greetings, Aria. Greetings, Nikki. And greetings to all the FBI and Secret Service and IRS agents listening and the U.S. Attorney's Office. I'm sure they're listening to every broadcast now. I'm sure they are. And by the way, Nikki, my husband James is 6'3", and he said, I feel like I'm a small man standing next to Matt.
Matt's 6'3".
Six, really? I mean, he's probably it's because James is not as, like, you know, broad in the chest.
Yeah.
But he says, yeah.
It does make him appear a little bit taller, yeah. I can see that.
Yes, yes. But you definitely will have some Paul Bunyan-like children.
So what's on your mind tonight, TJ?
Oh, I was just calling to wish you the best of luck in the sentencing hearing, and I was kind of surreal for me in court, just, you know, listening to Ian's conversation, because, you know, in the text messages Renee and Ian sent back and forth, you know, obviously they never intended for that to come out between anybody, but it was just kind of interesting to see people, you know, just talk without their, you know, just like you're spying on somebody. But one of the things I saw was this driver's license photo, and they put it up there, Menacy James Brody Baker.
Hey, dude, there is absolutely no need to full-on dead name me on the air like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, it was, okay.
What the hell, dude?
I'm sorry. It was just, I was leading into that, because I was saying, you know, I wonder whose story is more interesting, JBB, or would it just be Aria DiMezzo? And I think both have very fascinating stories to tell, and I'd like to hear them sometime.
Oh, it's just the one story, right? Yeah, there's just the one story, and that's my story.
Yes. And so I hope you get a chance to tell it in court, and I hope the judge will take mercy on you and you know, Judge LaPlante seems to be fairly lenient so far. I mean, if he granted bail and leniency to nobody, then why not you?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously where the memorandum that we filed, we're hoping for a sentence of time served with supervised release with the special condition of a year of home confinement or house arrest, however one wishes to characterize it. And this is what the other defendants got, was time served with supervised release. So we're hoping.
Okay. And by the way, I changed my name in memory of nobody. I guess not in memory, because that would imply that he's, you know, gone. But
he's still around.
I changed my name to TJ the Spy. So I'm in the process of getting my driver's license and my passport changed.
Really?
And I'm looking forward to, yes, and I'm looking forward to going through customs or getting pulled over.
Oh, I'm sure.
Driver's license, TJ. And I said, well, why not? Like, why can't something like, why can't your profession, like James the Accountant or Dora the Explorer or Bob the Builder or Joe the Plumber? You know, there's.
Isn't that how last names, like, began?
I think so, yeah.
Well, yeah, when there were so many Joes, you know, it's like, okay, Joe the plumber or Joe the this or that. And so I always thought we should get back to that, you know, maybe so like I took the lead and said, okay, my name's TJ the Spy now. And so
right.
James is not happy because he's like, okay, am I Mrs. Spy? And I said, well, if you want to be Mrs. Spy, I suppose you can, but...
So is the, like, a middle name here?
Yes, okay. That's my middle name.
Oh,
is
okay.
The.
Okay.
And so I just... Well,
how is this going? Because in New Hampshire, they make it really easy, where, like, I didn't even have to have a hearing. That could have been because of COVID, but...
I had to go in front of a judge and pay like a $200 public newspaper publication fee, publish my name in the paper and everything.
They have to do that in Massachusetts as well. I learned regarding a trans friend of mine who transitioned there, and she had to file something in, you know, some public ads asking if there were any objections or whatever.
Oh, gosh, really?
Is that the sort of thing you had to do, TJ?
Yeah, I did. You know, like, I had to publish the name, and then there was a waiting period. If anybody filed an objection, there were none. And judge granted the motion to change my name, and I said, well, you know, he asked me have I had any other names, and I said, oh, yeah, I've had 7 of them now. And so, you know, okay. It's kind of like I said, God help me if I ever get indicted on a crime, because it'll be... TJ the Spy, a.k.a. Travis Sherrod Cleveland, a.k.a. Travis Sherrod Park, a.k.a. Aaron Josh, and on back down the chain to my birth name.
That does sound uncomfortable, right? So you've gone through this process already? You have legally changed your name to TJ the Spy?
Oh, yes.
That is awesome.
Oh, yes.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Because that's certainly how I know you. I think I do call you TJ, but like when we announce you on air, it's always TJ the Spy. So kudos on that. Do you have that on your ID and your passport and stuff yet? Yeah, because I know that's a tedious, laborious process.
Yes, that's what I'm going through right now, is I have to wait a couple weeks for my passport to come back. And women who get married and take on their spouse's last name, they always look at me and say, you did this what? Because they know how much pain it is to change bank accounts and checking accounts and your driver's license and your utility bill and everything in your life.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
It sucks. One name.
Well, keep it surprised on how it goes. I look forward to, you know, seeing your ID or whatever as TJ the Spy. I think that's got me. There's nothing wrong with it, right? That's how you identify. That is the name that you give people when they ask you your name. And isn't that what a name is supposed to be?
Yeah.
I thought so, at least. But, you know, some people would be very upset that, you know, his ID is going to say TJ the Spy. But, like,
I couldn't imagine being upset over that.
People get upset about all sorts of nonsense,
true.
Though. And thank you, TJ, for the call tonight. Let's keep going with the phones. We do have other callers on the line. We have Mike listening from Connecticut. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I think if you have to spank a child, you pretty much failed as a parent, because you just have to, like, invoke fear in the child and just to get your way, and instead of, like, you know, like, I have a daughter. I've never spanked her ever. She's 13 years old. I would never even think of it. But when I grew up, I was afraid of my father, because he'd spank me if he had to.
Sure.
But,
I think you're probably right there. Like, I hear these stories. Like, one of the things being debated in New Hampshire right now was this idea that if your child tells the school that they want to transition, the school doesn't have to tell that to the parents. That's what they're arguing about right now. And I feel like enough people aren't addressing the reality of this, that if your child doesn't feel safe talking to you about something as basic as their identity, then you have incontrovertibly failed as a parent.
That's a great point. I mean, if my children were having any sort of thoughts like that, any thoughts regarding anything, I would want them to feel comfortable to tell me so, you know, we could talk through it.
And by the same token,
that's kind of where I was going.
Yeah.
My daughter feels comfortable telling me anything, and we have this, like, open relationship. I'm still her father, like, but I'm not, like, one of those parents that I'm her best friend. I'm her father. She looks to me for guidance, and she feels comfortable telling me anything because she knows there's no repercussions for whatever's on her mind. But I think you might have missed something that guy said when he called. I don't know if he did or he didn't, but he said that child was special needs. And I don't know.
No, because we asked
that. Yeah, I clarified that with him. There were two different children that he was talking about.
It was a little confusing.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Okay, so I have a really, so I'm an anarchist, and I believe in the non-aggression principle, but I have real problems because Now, my wife has turned into completely psychotic.
Oh, no.
And it's really, really hard to deal with as somebody who doesn't believe in aggression, because I'm always getting, aggression against me.
Yeah.
So I can see how it could be difficult. That's why I thought, because I didn't hear the whole conversation, I thought maybe it was like, you hold the child down or something so she doesn't hurt herself or somebody else. I wasn't sure what that conversation was about. I just kind of clicked kind of the end of it. So, because I know people with special needs kids, and they can be pretty violent, like,
yeah,
when they don't get their way, or, you know. So it's a really difficult situation. I don't even know what to do with my wife, because I don't believe in locking anybody up. So I'm not going to call authorities and throw her in a cage and forcibly be medicated or anything,
yeah,
like that.
It can be really difficult to find that balance of, like, how to get somebody help and how without, you know, especially if they're being violent against you or they're aggressing towards you. It's like, how do you, you know, still keep your values while defending yourself and also trying to get them help? It can be difficult.
Well, there has to be a point, right, at which a person is simply unfit to be in society at large, right? Like a serial killer or a serial rapist or whatever who is unrepentant in their ways, they're violent and they're not going to change. At a certain point, something has to be done. And I don't know if that's clearly not the American system that we have in place. But I absolutely agree. There comes a time when you have to remove someone from society, like either for their own good or for the well-being of others.
Could you be that person that removes that person from society? That's the thing. Somebody has to do it, right?
I don't know, man, and I hope I never have to answer that question. I can't imagine being in that situation. It sounds like that's, yeah.
I mean, because the police are constantly in my life, and I can't stand the police, so I don't even want to deal with them. I don't even talk to them, but, you know, they're always involved, and she's always getting into it. But it's not like, she's not violent. I mean, she's been violent in the past, but she's not violent now, but she's just more annoying than anything. And people treat people with mental illness really bad, and because they don't understand them, and, like, she's just a nuisance, like, everywhere she goes, so it's really difficult to deal.
Well, I'm sorry you're dealing with that, but it sounds like you're a great parent, and you're doing the best you can, so.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful thing. And
right.
Thank you so much for the call tonight, and thank you for, you know, the positive news about your parenting
techniques. Yeah, it is refreshing, because a lot of people think, like, oh, it's impossible to, you know, raise children in this way where you're not... You know, and even finding that balance between, like, your kids feel comfortable, you know, bringing anything to you, but you still are, you know, respected, and they still understand those boundaries of, like, yeah, I'm your parent, I'm not your friend, but you can come to me with anything, and we can talk through it. It's a really difficult balance to find.
I'm in a number of Facebook groups. One of the ones I'm in recently had some mother posting that, you know, her 14-year-old daughter was becoming interested in sexual things, and she wanted to buy her a toy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked, because I'm in some fairly liberal and progressive Facebook groups. I'm not in them with a bunch of conservatives and stuff.
Yeah.
I was shocked by how many people took issue with the idea of this
really?
Mother buying a sex toy for her daughters. Like,
it sounds like the responsible thing to do, right? I mean...
So what do you want her to figure this out? Like, you did in the back alley behind Denny's? Let's not do that, right?
I mean, it's okay for kids to explore their sexuality, you know what I mean? Like, it would be okay to...
Right.
I mean, I'm assuming most parents wouldn't punish their child for, like, regular masturbating, so why would it be different using a sex toy?
Another example I saw somewhere once on Quora was a mother saying, you know, her child is doing that, and she didn't know what to do about it, so there's like, okay, what you do is you buy a toy, you give it to your kid, and you say, we're never speaking of this again, wash it when you're done, and that's it. Like, was the worst answer we got, and even that was still really progressive. Like, it's a healthy way for the child to deal with it, because that's sort of your role as a parent, is to provide your child with healthy ways of dealing with changes to their body and their minds.
And I think... Everybody always talks about, you know, the uncomfortable sex talk that you have to have with your kids. And I believe it really shouldn't be horribly uncomfortable, because you should be able to ease your way into it, you know.
A really good
point,
yeah.
You don't have to say inappropriate things when they're like 5 years old, but you're able to teach them about their bodies using the, you know, medical term, you know, like actual appropriate language, you know, not giving body parts weird pet names and stuff, but
right.
You should be able to discuss these things with your children earlier on, so they're not like 13 years old and it's like, oh boy, I better, you know, have this really awkward, uncomfortable conversation, because we've been avoiding this their entire life. I mean, kids find out about sex before you tell them. So
that's,
you know,
a really
you
good
probably,
point that I had never thought of. That the should, reason it's awkward is because
yeah.
they've carefully avoided this subject their entire
yeah.
life.
And it's, you don't want that first discussion to happen with their friends at public school, because it's probably not going to be an appropriate way to or a healthy way to teach them about these concepts. You know,
and it will be filled with wrong information.
Absolutely, yeah.
Take it from experience. Nothing they learn from their friends in elementary school is going to be useful.
No, it's not.
So I never thought about that before, but you're absolutely right that if you're dreading this sex talk with your kids in their early teenage years or whatever, it's because you've been probably meticulously avoiding the subject and doing them and yourself a great disservice. Now, I'm not saying you have to sit down and watch pornography with your kids, obviously, but that's how people are going to take it, right?
Yeah.
There's someone out there right now saying, how dare you say you should watch pornography with your kids? Yeah. Like, that's not at all what we're saying, but you should be able to communicate with your children, and your children should be able to communicate anything with you. And if they can't, then something has broken down there that is not going to be fixed with the belt. That's all
Absolutely.
I'm saying. But we have Sarah on the line from New Mexico. Sarah, I believe, has no kids, and the world's probably a better place for that. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I have no kids, but yeah, it's a big responsibility. But the thing is, you know, we just have to be thankful for whatever horrible jobs that your parents have done. Let's be thankful that you have parents, even if that you were abused.
What,
so
why?
That's my thing.
Hold on. Why would I be grateful for people who might have abused me?
Well, the thing is, at least they got you out here. They gave you a life and opportunities to be here, and that alone should be, we should be grateful. And
so they should,
just
I should be grateful and honor them because they got laid?
But that's what you said. The divine, and it's not that, but at least they got you here. You could have been aborted. You know what I mean? Think about that.
Some people prefer that.
Don't even make it.
Some people wish they had been aborted, Sarah.
No, but I mean, but that's my take on it. But I really
want
to
call. Your take is silly, and I'm confused about it. I don't understand what part of my parents having sex with one another makes them worthy of my honor and respect, right?
Well, they conceived you and they brought you out here, and you know they were a part of it. And they could have got rid of you.
Probably not. Not in the 80s or whatever. That probably would not have been okay. Thank you for the call tonight, Sarah. I know you had something, but what you just said is way more interesting than whatever crazy traffic thing you want to talk about. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in on the subject of parenting, or if you want to take up Sarah's pet traffic of topic of traffic. It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Concerns about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's failure to disclose gifts and luxury travel he received from a Republican donor are being sent to a judicial committee. The director of the Judicial Conference of the United States wrote in a letter to a pair of Democratic lawmakers that she has passed along their concerns about Thomas in a recent report from ProPublica to the committee. The lawmakers are worried Justice Thomas has something to hide. The U.S. war in Afghanistan was a, quote, strategic failure.
The U.S.-supported Afghan government and military collapsed almost immediately as U.S. forces began their final withdrawal from the country.
That's what Defense Department Inspector General Robert Storch told the House Oversight Committee during a hearing on the U.S. exit from Afghanistan. The Republican-led committee is reviewing the Biden administration's actions surrounding the withdrawal of troops in 2021. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
And you are invited to join us. There's still time. 603-283-6160. If you want to do that, that's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
And Nikki.
And we got into a surprisingly popular topic about parenting.
Yeah.
Considering, I mean, neither of us has kids. I can see why parenting would be such a topic, though, because, you know, most people do have kids, and
yeah,
they think that the whole point of existence is to procreate. And I understand why they think that, because that's sort of what all of your biology has programmed you to want to do.
Like, yeah.
So I get it. But I want to say thank you to CH. That is tonight's amplifier. That means that CH is a member of the AMPS program. That's our Patreon. You can find it at amps.freetalklive.com. Stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. So if you like the show, if you value Free Talk Live, and you want to help us get on more radio stations, I mean, I think I'm going to drop that line from the thing entirely. You know, we're not focusing. We are still trying. You know, we're still a radio show, right? But I don't want us to get on more radio stations. I want us to get more viewers on Odyssey and not YouTube, obviously, and Twitch and all these other video platforms that. And our podcast, those things are the future. So that's where I want to see us grow, in those areas. So the AMPS program is the best way for you to do that. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And it does come with a number of cool little perks. There was an outtakes video posted about 2-3 weeks ago, I think, of, you know, me, Bonnie, and Nikki sitting here recording a video with Bonnie. And, you know, there's some pretty funny outtakes to there. And those only went to the AMP page. So that's amps.freetalklive.com. That's our Patreon. That's the only place you can see those, unless somebody downloaded them and then shared them elsewhere. But we're not popular enough for anyone to have bothered to do that. But there's other possibly exclusive stuff that's going to be there in the future, and you don't want to miss out on it. Or do you? I don't think you do. AMPS.freetalklive.com only takes $5 per month. CH is a platinum-level amplifier, which means the CH is giving $25 per month. Is it 25? Yes, because Diamond's the next one. $25 per month to the AMPS program. So thank you so much for that, CH. We appreciate it. That's AMPS.freetalklive.com. Or just look up Free Talk Live on Patreon, because chances are you've already got an account there. I support several people on Patreon, because I think that's the future of the internet. This ad-supported model, I think, has failed, and it's consistently failing. Their next hope for advertisement is artificial intelligence.
Oh, I haven't heard about this.
They think that artificial intelligence can learn your patterns and recommend new things to you that are in line with your existing likes and interests, whereas the current algorithms, they don't do that. They wait until you tell them what you're interested in, and then they tell you about it. Like, if I looked for a sound system tonight, I would suddenly get a lot more advertisements for sound systems and stuff, but I had already Googled that and found a product that I liked.
Yeah,
so advertising apparatus is pointless.
Yeah.
So they think AI is going to be a solution to this, but I don't think any of that's going to work. I think this viewer-supported, this listener-supported model is the way of the future. That's amps.freetalklive.com. But let's keep going with the phone, 603-283-6160, if you want to weigh in. We have Minor Ake on the line with us. Minor Ake, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I wanted to take the super popular position of beating children.
Okay, right? Sure.
Yep. That's sort of the position that Mark takes. Well, Mark takes a position that if you want to beat your kids to death with a bat, he doesn't particularly care.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember how he put it, but I was on the show with him the night that he said it, and it was something to that effect.
Well, speaking of Mark, I would kind of like to see Conan come back, but anyway.
What does that have to do with Mark?
Because Conan is kind of like Mark when Mark's not around.
Oh, I see. He's like the conservative in the room. Okay, yeah, I can see that. That makes sense.
He's the Wish.com Mark.
Yeah, I mean, he brings a perspective that I don't think anybody else does.
That's true. That's true. And we love Conan and miss him, but he doesn't seem to want to come back, so that's where we're at.
So back to beating children.
It's not a popular position. I can see why you're struggling to...
Right. The thing is pain is the most valuable, the fastest teacher, I should say, not most valuable. But when something hurts, you learn from it very quick, like that time. Like, you don't do it again.
Not necessarily. That doesn't work with me.
What'd you do?
Don't worry about it.
Well, there's also the fact that, pain may be a valuable teacher. And, punishing someone for doing something bad, it does work on a certain level. However, all of the statistics show, all of the studies show, all of the research shows that rewarding good behavior is a better avenue for changing a person's behavior than punishing bad behavior. So as much as it will burn to put your hand on the stove eye, giving your child a piece of candy for not doing something dangerous is a better teacher.
I think physical discipline, it's quick and easy for, it's like, I can get my message across very quickly. It doesn't take a lot of, thinking about it, or you don't have to have... Because with the positive reinforcement, with, the peaceful parenting techniques, you have to sit down with your kids and have very long discussions over and over and over again. And that's too much for most parents. So it's easier, you did something bad, I'm going to hit you. That's easier for most parents.
So when your four-year-old runs out into the street for the first time, and it's a busy road,
You run and you get the four-year-old out of the street.
That's personal experience.
Right, you run and you get the four-year-old out of the street. I don't see any benefit in hitting the child at that point.
You get him back to the street and
then what? You don't hit them?
This is personal for me, so... I've struck a child 3 times in my life, and this is one of them. The other two weren't even my children.
I've never given it any thought, but I can honestly say I have never hit a child. And
I haven't. Maybe when I was a child.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, but I don't count that.
Well, no.
Yes. I have never been an adult hitting a child, and it kind of scares me that I'm confident I'm in a minority when I say that.
Probably.
That's terrifying, dude. That's not okay. We have a society full of adults running around beating children. No part of that is okay.
Well, all right. So Let me.
What right, was so, the benefit?
And, in, again, it was, all right, so I yank my son out of the road.
And then you beat
and, him. And smack him on the butt, so.
What was the benefit like, in spanking him?
Look, I don't feel good about it. Like, he turned around and looked at me. Like, he didn't start, like, crying. He just looked at me like, I can't believe you just did that to me. Like, that was a look on his face, and I've never felt worse in my life.
I understand. I'm just, I
so
want to understand.
Was it a good
the other
thing,
two
though?
Times I actually feel all right about.
I just want to understand why you felt it was necessary instead of just saying, hey, those cars will kill you.
It was more of a reaction type thing, I would say.
Okay, so you don't think it was actually necessary to the situation.
But I guess the why I felt it was like you could have been killed, but instead you got smacked on the butt and it hurt.
But instead you could have just pulled the child out of the street and been like, hey, that car right there will kill you. You could have used words instead of violence, right?
Is a four-year-old going to understand conversation over like a smack on the butt?
I mean, a four-year-old will absolutely understand a conversation about that. I mean, and that's the thing. You might have to have that conversation a few more times. And, you know, maybe later on, you know, before it happens again, you might have to, you know, when you're putting them to bed, you'll have to spell it out again and say, here, you're like, this is dangerous. This is exactly why. Like, this is what could happen. And
that's
you might have
question.
To have that a couple more times.
Nikki, you have absolutely nailed it here. I would never let my dog outside without a leash because I haven't trained her not to run into the street. Why did you let your child outside of your grasp where they could run into the street before having had this conversation with them? Are you still there?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
Because I've never thought about it until Nikki said it right then, but that's absolutely right. Like, before I let my child play in the front yard, I'd be like, hey, look, I'm going to let you play in the front yard, but you can't play in the street.
And you know, it's tough because there's an infinite amount of possibilities, right? Like, there are so many different hazards that could possibly happen to your kid. It's impossible for me to be like, here is every single thing that might happen to you and how, you know, how I want you to respond to it. It's impossible.
Right, and I imagine that I probably had that. I can't say for sure. You know, this is we're going back like 12 years. You know, so I imagine I had that conversation with. You know, that was my second child. You know, I've never struck my first child, and you know, struck my second child that one time, and then. So here's a different scenario. It's other people's children, but both times. These little bastards walk up and smack me right in the face out of nowhere. And I, you know, in an equal, you know, to the age, you know, give them a smack back, you know, like
how old were they?
Right across the face. The first one, I think, was about 5, and the second one was like 9.
Okay, now look.
So the second one, like, hurt.
I'm not criticizing anything. I just want to understand the situation because I have never had a child walk up to me and smack me that I remember, right? Like,
So I had kind of, these were my sons, the second one was a friend of my son, and I let my son get away with a lot of stuff. You know, I mean,
your son is
you
your
know,
oldest?
He would swear in front of me. Yeah, the same one that I smacked in the butt when he was 4.
Okay, so not the oldest.
You know, at this point, you know, in this story, he's like 10. And, you know, his friends are right around the same age. And
oh, your
I
son was the one
McDonald's.
Who smacked you?
No. It was his friend. Like, I was treating them to like a McDonald's with like the whole play place and everything scenario. And out of nowhere, this kid just walks up and slaps me in the face.
That's crazy.
So I just slap him back.
I don't know about slapping him back. I don't know how I'd react in that situation, you know?
Sometimes it is just like a response, like a,
right.
almost like,
It's almost self-defense, but.
Well, and not
like,
even just that,
child.
It's like, an involuntary
no,
response.
About it. Like,
I could see
I
that happen.
I hit him back with like an equal amount of force. Like, I didn't hit him with like an adult amount of force.
Right, you didn't
I
like body
with, like,
slam
him
most of the table
of
McDonald's
force.
Or anything. Right. And I'm certainly not pitching that. I'm just, it's a weird position to be in because you're right. If someone hits you.
Oh, he freaked out. He puked. It was terrible.
Yeah, you have every right to hit that person back, but when that person is a 9-year-old child, I don't know
I was
that
so
you
scared
necessarily.
His mother. Well, the thing is, his mother. I mean, this gets back to like what you know, beating kids. his mother would beat the hell out of him and his brother and sister, like,
yeah,
in the
which
middle
is where
of the
learned
street,
it.
Like, with like, didn't even care.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care who's watching me beat my kids, like.
And some parents are like that. I mean, and nowadays it's less acceptable, but, you know, not too long ago, people would beat their kids in the middle of the store, and it was just like, oh, you know, look the other way. Now if that happens, somebody's going to say something or call the cops or something. Like, you have to, you know, people can't do that anymore.
School and,
yeah, teachers.
And my son, like, that was absolutely appalling. And I cannot imagine, why were my parents okay with these other people using violence against me?
Yeah.
All right. And then, since you've dealt with that, maybe you can attest to this, is it makes you not afraid of getting beaten. Like, you're not afraid of anything. You've gotten beaten by somebody three times your size for half your life. When somebody bigger than you comes up trying to intimidate you, you're not afraid.
Sometimes. I mean, it depends on the person. But I could definitely see that for some people that would be the reaction. But for some people, it just gives them, like, long trauma. It really just depends how people process that experience, right? So some people will be like, oh, yeah, now I'm not scared of anything. Like, I don't care if you hit me. Like, you can't do anything worse than my father's done to me, whatever. But then
that breaks my heart because I picture people I know saying stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard people say this all the time. And then some people will just give them trauma where if you look at them wrong, they'll start crying, or if they, you know, sense any sort of perceived danger, they, you know, flip out, and, you know, so people just process it differently.
I suppose so.
Yep. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Minor Aches. A lot of really good questions there and a lot of really good dialogue. I don't have any good answers. And, you know,
yeah. It's hard. Like, what do you do when a 9-year-old just comes up to you and smacks you across the face? I personally would not hit them back. I would say, like, don't do that to me. You know, I would scold them verbally. But
I don't know how I would react to it. It's such outside of my realm of experience that I don't know.
I mean, I've been hit by, like, younger children before, and normally I just tell them, hey, don't do that, because it usually doesn't hurt that bad, so I'm not going to, like, yell, but it's just like,
sure.
Hey, don't do that, and this is why, you know, like, oh, you know, be nice, that sort of thing. But, I mean, when a baby hits you, I mean, 2-year-olds, they can pack a punch sometimes, too, and they just don't understand.
That's a good point. 603-283-6160, if you want to weigh in, that's 603-283-6160. Let's keep going. We have Tim on the line listening from Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, so I certainly cannot speak to human children, and I don't exactly consider my dog my child, but I do have, I guess a red-nosed pit bull. She's brown, and this brown-eyed dog got out the other day. The wind blew the gate open, and she and her Jack Russell Terrier friend went out onto a road that is extremely busy, and I was in the next county over visiting my 86-year-old friend. You know, I tried to check up on him, and I get a phone call, and I don't recognize the number, but I answer the phone, and it's not a telemarketer. The first thing I hear is, oh, I've got a pretty brown-eyed girl right here, and I'm like, oh, is it it's a brown dog with a brown nose? He's like, yep. He said the little Jack Russell got away, but she came right up to me. I'm like, oh, my. But anyway, the long story short, we got them both back, right? But the thing about pit bulls is they are a breed, and I bet it actually applies to all terriers and perhaps even hounds. I'm not sure about hounds. They're pretty rambunctious. But with pit bulls, they do not respond to negative reinforcement. They only really respond to positive reinforcement, and it's difficult when you're trying to walk, because she's like a 12-year-old dog, and I didn't raise her, you know. So when you raise them from puppies, they're easier to get moving, you know. But she'll stand there when we're taking a walk, and she'll dig her heels in, and she's not going to go anywhere.
See, your story about getting loose is interesting, because that sort of happened recently with my dog, where I have a lead in my backyard, and every morning I, you know, put her out there on the lead, and I go do my thing and wake up and all that, and she stays out there for half an hour or whatever, and she's fine. She loves it, right? But the other day, the connecting thing, apparatus, whatever you would call it, it became disconnected. So she's just running around my backyard, not attached to anything. And I didn't know it. And then suddenly I hear her barking, which isn't terribly normal. She barks because there's people around that aren't paying attention to her, and she sees them and she wants to tell them hello, and she doesn't understand that barking at people scares them. So that's how she tries to communicate, because she can't go over and say hello because she's tied up on this thing. So I heard her barking, and that's usually, it's also sometimes the cue that she's ready to come in. So I went outside and I discovered that she's sitting there at the edge of the property with no fence or anything in front of her, not attached to anything, not going past where the lead wouldn't allow her to go past, though, and like she's just staying in the yard where she knows she's allowed to be. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you want. The problem with my dog is she just looked right at me when I said that. But when I'm taking her for a walk, she'll try to pull into a busy highway. And because I think in her mind it's like a car. It goes fast and I can get in it. And she doesn't know. She's dumb in that respect.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
can't relate.
And that's what happened. She was standing in the middle of the road. She was standing in the middle of the road. I wish she was like your dog and she would, like, stop at the end of the property, you know?
Yeah, I can't relate. I had to spend a lot of effort learning to walk my dog and training her to walk the way that I wanted her to walk. It's been mostly successful. I don't reinforce it enough by walking her as much as she would like, certainly. But, like, she knows when we're walking not to run. Plus, a lot of the times that I'm walking her, I'm riding a bike, and I can't just stop as freely. And, like, if she gets in front of me, it can go really bad really, really quickly, whether I want to not. Speaking of fear being a punishment thing, there's nothing I can do about that. If she runs in front of me and I have to slam on the brakes to avoid running her over and I still hit her, like, that's beyond my control. And that's not me hitting her with the bike. She ran in front of it and caused that to happen.
Yeah.
But she learns.
She doesn't know. She doesn't know her physical boundaries until, and that's the one thing, and some people have argued it also works with human children, but that, like, dogs end up learning their boundaries because they're biting at each other, and that's how they learn, like, oh, biting equals pain, and they learn a little bit of empathy, so they back off from each other.
Well, I certainly let her bite me. That was what her trainer recommended. I say her trainer. The trainer was training me, and he was just teaching me how to speak dog for the most part and how to, you know, interact with a dog and how to get her to do what I wanted. But when she was a young puppy, he recommended that I just let her bite at me. And whenever we were playing, she would just bite me. And I was like, I don't want her to bite people. Though he's like, it's fine. Let her do it. And so I let her do it. And he was absolutely right. And now she doesn't bite people.
Some dogs are okay with that.
I think it depends on the breed, too, probably.
There was a red bone coonhound that would maul, like, it would completely maul my wrist and my forearm. And it didn't know any better. Like, it really didn't know any better. So I was always like, oh, I should wear one of those falconry gloves out there with this dog.
Sure. Well, certainly when I mention my trainer or my dog's trainer, like, that's specific to my dog, right? She's a golden retriever, so she wants to be good anyway.
Oh, they're sweet. Yeah.
So she wants to be a good girl anyway. So she's very easy to train in that regard. Once she knows what I want her to do, she wants to do it because she knows that makes me happy. And that's just how goldens are.
They're wonderful.
Yeah, and not all dogs are like that, certainly. And thank you so much for the call tonight, Tim. But there's huge differences between a dog and a person as well. And, you know, we're dealing here with two different species that ran into the street, right? His dog, my dog, and the human child. And one of these did not run into the street. One of them has only had positive reinforcement her entire life. Now, I've never explicitly told her not to go on the street because she's a dog. What good would it do? However, we do cross the street occasionally at my house. And the rule is every time we come to an intersection or a street that we cross, she sits. That's always been the rule. As soon as we get to one, she sits and she waits on me to proceed. So I don't know what she would do if I wasn't there, as I wasn't that day. She was in the backyard, which is different, has its own rules, but like, if she was just out there, would she get to the edge of the street and wait on me? I don't know. Probably, because that's what I've trained her to do, but I can't say that for sure, and it's too risky for me to want to test it. But that's a dog. That's very different from a human. I would much rather have the human that I had explained to, hey, look, you can't get in the street. You can't just, as you point out, you can't have that conversation just once.
Yeah.
Because it's a 4-year-old, they're going to forget. You have to have it. You have to hammer it into them and explain to them why it's wrong. And violence may do that, may be a shortcut to that. I'm not saying it isn't, but if you can instead remove violence from the situation and have that conversation with them 5 or 6 times a week, every week for the first 2 years of their life or whatever, it seems to me like that would be preferable to introducing violence to the equation. And even our previous caller who talked about this, he didn't seem to be able to explain what exactly introducing violence into the equation actually achieved.
And it seems like, from what I remember, he admitted that it wasn't necessary. It was just his, like, instinct response or just, like, just the way his body responded in the heat of the moment.
Right. He had energy, you know, and it was the heat of that moment. He didn't know what to do with that energy, so he reacted with it. And he let the energy, that high energy intensity, direct his actions, and high energy intensity tends to lead to violence if it's not properly, you know, controlled. So I think in that particular situation, you know, he just sort of lost control of himself. And it probably didn't contribute anything. But that's not a judgment, right? The 4-year-old did not play in the street again and did not get hit by an automobile. So the mission was accomplished regardless.
Yeah. I find that it's difficult to judge people because you don't always understand, you know, exactly what is going on in the situation. You know, I mean, we're all humans. We all make mistakes. And whether we understand that they're mistakes or not, I mean, it still happens.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's difficult. There's so many different parenting styles, and it's really difficult to completely judge people unless they're, like, actually abusing and beating their children. I think I don't necessarily judge people that spank their children, and you know, within a certain, you know, within means, right?
All right, spanking your child quickly on the butt because they ran in the street, I'm not going to judge you of that.
Like, spanking is different than beating your child, and I do admit that. But I also admit that that's not the best technique to raising human beings because it is introducing that level of violence. You know, so if you're hitting your kids, they're going to go to school, and they're going to hit kids at school. So it's kind of creates this never-ending cycle, and then we get to the point where people put up with what the state, with the abuse from the state.
Right, because that's what they learned, right? That when someone doesn't do what you want, you hit them. And so when people don't do what the government wants, the government hits them. And to them, it becomes totally okay. What a time for the night. You can join us in the meantime on our social media server at social.freetalklive.com. Again, that's social.freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.